what goal setting really looks like. If somebody could help me out, could you help me out? What's your name?
Jim.
Jim, will you step down here, please? Hang with me for this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Just move that out of the way, if you would. Take that back over there. I want to illustrate this for you about goal setting. And Jim, I want you to be my coach. Stand right here. My coach, my teacher, my guy, my guru, whatever you might call him. When I get off track, I want you to tell me that I'm off track, and I want you to tell me what to do to make up for it, okay? My goal is to walk over to you, okay? So, I'm going to begin by taking steps toward you. When I get off track, you tell me to stop, okay?
Stop.
Okay, he said stop. Now what do I do?
Turn to your right.
Take one step back like this? Now.
Forward. Stop.
What do I do?
Turn to your left.
Okay.
Forward.
I made my goal. Congratulations. Stay there. That was a man whose goal was to get over there. Here's another man, or woman, who says the goal is to get over there.
Negative coming from all the people.
Well,
how do you tune it out? How do you do it now?
Probably just get within myself and get within my own attitudes.
Well, let me just put it this way. Let's take a real extreme case. Let's say you were going out here for lunch and there was a whole bunch of Flat Earth Society people meeting here. Because there is a group like that. They know they're really so flat. They know the pictures from space are bull. Here in much of them sitting at lunch going, the Earth is not round, it's flat. Would that bother you much? What would be your reaction? Would you say anymore? Yeah, just ignore it. Giggle. I would giggle. Because I know it's this other way. So when you know that it's the other way, then the negatives let it slide. It would just slide right up. It wouldn't come up as an issue once you build yourself into a point that you know what you're doing is right. The other stuff would just disappear.
Yeah, sometimes a new Buddha comes out within you and you won't argue with these people. You know, you won't tell them why you're wasting your time. What do you do with that?
Done. I love to argue. I'd argue with them. But it would only make me stronger. You know, I'm not going to get weaker by arguing with them. Next question.
Speak a little bit of the subject of what might be called unrealistic goals.
Okay, unrealistic goals. Real quickly, here's an unrealistic goal. If you're 2 feet tall and you want to stuff a basketball, that's unrealistic. But maybe not. Unrealistic goal may be to fly, but you can talk to Michael, and you probably know people who fly, don't you? I didn't. In 2 minutes or less, it's really hard to say, but here's the way I will answer it, and then we can go talk about it for hours and hours. Take what you can believe, what you really can believe. Let's take high jump, for example. If you can high jump 4 feet, say, easily. You might believe that under the right circumstances you could maybe jump 4 feet six. Well, take what you can absolutely believe and just extend it a little bit more. Does that help at all?
Helps a bit.
What unrealistic goal have you got?
To pick the winner of every race that I handicap.
That's right. That's a good one. That on this plane is going to be unrealistic. But it's, I mean, it's not possible, but on this plane, it's unrealistic. So, do you see that that's unrealistic?
Yeah, but how do you know what it is?
How did you know?
Yeah.
How did you know? You know it. I mean, you already know it's unrealistic.
Yeah, I suppose at the time of Columbus, I believe the Earth was flat, too. What I'm getting at.
Well, is there anyone, I mean, is there a mindset that says that you can pick the winner in every race? I don't think there's a lot of people believe that. My point is, I think you've already solved the problem for yourself. You know it's unrealistic. So back it off to something realistic. Let me give you an example. I'm a 65% handicapper when I choose my races carefully. So what I set for my goal is, 80% is probably impossible, so let's shoot for 75. That's the next level. And do it in steps. Do it in steps. People say, set your goal high, and if you miss, at least you're way the hell up there or something. Set a little tiny goal. If you're at 60, set a goal for 62, achieve that, then 64, then 66, so that you have a string of successes, because that will enhance your self-image. And you know when you say it, it happens. So go little steps. Yes?
That 100% winning goal is only on a momentary basis. I mean, in other words, one could have a 3-for-3 day or a 5-for-5 day, but the next day is a different scenario. Understand one? He's wanting to know how one can achieve 100%.
Well, I'll tell you how you can achieve 100%.
On a momentary basis, yes. Right.
Right, well, here's how you can achieve 100% after the races are run. And that's not so crazy because, I mean, what if you could go ahead and come back? So that's how you could do it. So it is possible.
I know some experts who do it. They go one for one and then they write a book. And I'm not talking about a forthcoming book. I'm talking about I've already been with.
Right. Anyway, let me make that really clear so you get it. As far as goals, take where you're at now, what you can come to believe, and add a little bit. Okay? And then go get that, and then add a little bit more, and then a little bit more. Yeah, right up here.
What's negative feedback? How do you know you were being given positive direction? Because when you went right, instead of coming back left, you might have been told to go more right.
How do you know you're getting the right direction? Okay. In life, it's difficult. In here, I can tell you that it's right. And I've got the microphone, so I must know what I'm talking about. So believe it, and it'll be so. In life, it's difficult. in here, it's accurate. Does that make sense?
On self-talk, right? In the example, there was always after the fact. It's how right. powerful a tool is it before the fact?
Well, it's all you do it before the fact. Let me show you that. Okay, it's a good point. In all of the examples, it was after the fact. Can it work before the fact? Do you ever do it before the fact? Have you ever worried about going and doing something? You know, you're going to go to a party that you don't like. So what do you say to yourself? You think to yourself, oh, party. Yeah, I hate him. That's your thought, okay? And that reinforces that I hate him, that negative attitude toward party. And you go over and over and over and over before you get there, as you're getting ready to go, as you're driving in the car, as you walk into the door, and once you get there, you go, yeah, this is just what I visualize. You do it all the time. You always are visualizing. The real question should be, how can I stop visualizing? How can I stop talking to myself? Recognize that you talk to yourself all the time, that you're continually visualizing. So worry is negative goal setting, okay? And all you want to do is switch it around. Switch it around. Exactly. Self-talk is the same as an affirmation. An affirmation just make it positive instead of negative. And then some people don't believe in affirmations, and of course, that in itself is an affirmation. Question? Did you have a question?
No.
I know you have a question, don't mind.
No, as a matter of fact, I didn't have a question. As a matter of fact, what I was going to say is, no, it's perfectly possible to have a 100% day, because I know I did it.
Right. Well, the question really was goal setting. Is, do you think you can set a goal to hit 21 out of 21? And that would be a good example at this level of unrealistic. Pardon me?
So
consistently 100% of the time?
I don't know how to
see me afterwards, okay? Give me my phone. Any other questions?
I agree with her. I think it's perfectly possible I have 100% day.
See, that's bullshit, okay? Let me stop right here. No. Listen to me, okay? If you don't believe that, otherwise you would achieve it. Okay? Have you achieved it 5 times in a row? Yeah, let me remove you from this illusion. Okay, seriously.
That ain't an illusion. The illusion is that you can't do it. The limits you set are the limits you get. I believe you. But why limit yourself to 99%?
It's 100% and you can do it.
Okay, let me ask you, do you believe that?
Sure, I do.
Okay. When was the last time you won 100 races in a row without
me? Last Sunday.
100?
100%.
I mean, 100 races in a row.
No, not 100 races.
Okay. 11. No, I said 100 races in a row. So I'm sorry you didn't hear. Here's all I'm trying to do. That's great, but you're really going to hurt yourself with that because of the fact
that... No, we're not. I
don't want to hear the negative. Oh, great. Okay, I'm glad we got out of this. Let me straighten this out. There's a rock in the middle of the road. Shut up, Dan. I don't want to hear any negative. This thing is going down if we don't know the rocks in the middle of the road. Negatives are not bad. You need negative feedback. You must have negative feedback. Negative feedback is vital. If you don't breathe, you're going to die. Slap in the back. Breathe. If you go out of here, goal set, truly believe you can hit 100%, and you don't, okay? What that's going to do is build a negative situation. Because, well, tell me, no, I know.
They're Canadian. They're different.
Okay, listen. See me afterwards. To the rest of you, I would much rather have you, just to show you how strong a point this is, I would much rather have you set a goal of 60% and hit 62%. Then they set a goal of 100% and hit 97%. That sounds a little strange, but that's the way it is.
I hear you.
Because the fact, what we want to do is we want to build a self-image to the point that when you say you're going to do something, it's done. As good as done. And that's when you're strong, that's when you become what they call self-actualized. That's when you can say it, think it, and it becomes done. So I'm sorry to be so aggressive, but I need to make it perfectly clear. Don't go out here thinking, oh, well, Dan said, nothing positive, you know. Positive thinking has a really bad rap, and I don't like it. Michael one time out of California said, well, you can sit in front of the mirror and go, I am the king, I am the king, I am the king, I am the king. If you don't have a king, then you know, what kind of king are you? Now, here's the way I would relate that back in self-image psychology. As soon as you believed and knew that you were the king and woke up without a kingdom, you'd go get a kingdom. But for me to walk up and say, hey, king, you got no kingdom, say, don't be negative. Well, you need to know where you're at. And negatives are vital to life. You need positive strokes when you do well. You need negative feedback when you don't do well. And Doc is great at doing that. Both sides. So don't think that anything negative is bad. Because everything negative is not bad. Negative goal setting is bad. Okay? You see the difference? One is to focus on the problem. To identify the problem and a way around the problem is necessary. Any other questions? I didn't think so.
Images. Dan is now pushing 30. He addressed a group 8 years ago when he was 22, and he didn't go over it all because everybody said, I won't listen to any advice from a punk kid who can't even shave. And he was just as effective and just as accurate then as he is now, but this image that everybody had of Dan 8 years ago, he's a punk kid, and anything he said couldn't possibly be meaningful. I want to give you a real fast test. Is it better? Give me your first reaction now. Which is better, to be an 80% proficient handicapper with an average mutual of $6 or only be a 50% handicapper with an average mutual of $10? Which, quick. Who said 80? Who said 50? Okay, 50's. We'll do it mathematically. 80% of $6 is $48. 50% of $10 is $50. I had a man stop me in the middle of a seminar and went on and on with this. He said, oh, I'd rather, I'm doing 80%. My average move is about $6. And I said, because I only play four-year-old allowance horses and high claimers. I can't play those three-year-old filly races. I only do 50% of those. What's your average move for $10? And I said, well, why don't you play them both? Get 50% with one of them and 80% with the other. He said, oh, no, I'd have to go 4 and 5 losses in a row. I'll leave it up to you. If you know you're going to do $10 mutuals, playing those hard post races that are less, so-called less playable, are you just going to play those that are real easy and real playable and accept the $6 mutual? Or are you going to try to play both the ones that give you the 80% and the 50%? What's 80 and 50? 130. 130% divided by 2 is what? 65% with an average mutual of $8 would be what you'd get. The difference between 6 and 10. Now, Dan Duran, I have a secret about Dan. Dan always wanted to be a 70% handicapper, and he never could get beyond 65 till recently. But he had a solution for it, and this might be a solution for all of you. He married a girl who's getting 70%. So that was kind of what he meant was, if you're 2 feet tall, don't try to dump a basket. Marry someone who can dump a basket. Between the two of them, they're now 67.5%. Okay. Here's the agenda for the rest of the day. Tom Bruhammer is going to take over in this room, and he has assigned the rest of us to certain tasks to answer the questions that you all said that if you knew the answers to, you would be winners. He will assign us our tasks. A couple of us are going to immediately go to the next three of us are going to the next row immediately. Myself, Michael Cazola, and Jim Bradshaw. We will be coming back throughout the day to address the rest of you. The only people who can go to the next room are persons who are now using energy, and the three persons who we committed the energy to, the gentleman in the hat back there, Dr. Jacobs and
Dominic Prestat.
Money. And the rest of them. Yes, sir?
I spoke to Jim before we started about the energy program.
Well, he said you were elsewhere. There's only about 12 or 13 of us who are going to go out of here. The rest of you stay here. And if you're curious about energy, Michael Pizzola on Sunday will take a break and he will get put it into the computer. You can crowd around him and you can see how it does. We'll talk about it for a little while. But the real thing is not the program. What you're going to get today in this room from Tom and the rest of us as he assigns us is the essence of what you have to know before any advanced program will do you any good. You can't go into an advanced program with yesterday's concepts, yesterday's affirmations, negatives. You must have a positive affirmation first. energy's not going to go away, and somebody will be around always to show you how to use it. And you don't have to try to rush into something just because it's there. Mount Everest, you don't have to climb today. First, climb the foothills. Climb the Alleghenies. And then you'll be ready. So let's take a break, and then we'll all get back here.
You made it as eligible for that. You're dealing with horses that can't ship back and forth successfully. For the most part, here, Saratoga, Belmont, and Aqueduct are the same horses. And once you have to penalize the other ones if they can't come successfully. Now, this is really a very easy process, because a lot of people get hung up on this. This is a very easy process to get a basic difference between these racetracks. Now, at Santa Anita Hollywood, you can operate kind of raw, because the difference is small. But there are some racetracks that the difference is very large, and you're going to have to determine that. But it's a matter, if you want just a basic difference between the sprinters at one track and the sprinters at the other track, you probably have an hour and a half in that at the most. All you need is some past performances that you can go to.
Tom, would you illustrate what you mean by Quinn's approach by just showing us what the next level up
of sure.
the box would look like?
Okay. The pencil and paper that you've got in front of you, all right, the Hollywood par for a mile and a 16th was, let's just use the second call final time now, was 111.3, I think, 145.3, wasn't it? 144.3. Okay, now make the 111.3 111.6. We'll go back to tenths now because it has to be for this exercise. 111.6, 144.3. And that was the 12.5 par? All right. The $10,000 par then is 111.7. 144.4. We're not dealing in tenths on final time. 144.4 is the final time there. It's 144.3, 144.4. That's the $10,000 par. The 16 in a route is a two-length graduation. In a sprint, it's one. So the $16,000, work upward, Dick. It doesn't go from 10 down to 16.
Yeah, well,
all right.
I didn't know where you were
going. All right, 16... That's all right. 16 is 111.5, 144, I'm sorry, 111.4, 144.1. The 20s are 111.3, 144 flat. The 25s are 111.2, 143.4. And that's pretty universal. Unless you happen to know that your track doesn't fit that universality, then use it. In a sprint, it's just one length per, so that when you're finished, it's a little bit of a difference between, say, a stakes performer and a $10,000. It's more of a difference in a route than it is in a sprint, which is true. And that's basically how you build in those pars. And that will hold up across the country very well. But it's getting that single par that's the first step, and it, believe me, it is a lot easier than most people have made it. And you have to have that to be able to match up horses from different racetracks on your own circuit or on any circuit. Mark?
Yeah,